the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, whether you're listening online or in iTunes or on the radio. I'm glad that you're listening. If you have been listening to the last few, you know that we've been answering kind of leftover questions from our Hot Seat Sunday, where we just got people to send in questions and spent kind of the sermon time answering them. So we have one left, and we have saved the doozy of all doozies for this last Hot Seat Sunday kind of related thing. It was funny how it came about. Was in our first service, we said, oh yeah, we'll take one more question. And then this question came up, and we just said, there's no way in like 5 minutes we can answer this. And then as we started talking about it, we said, no, we got to devote a whole podcast just because it's such a, well, it's such an interesting passage. And it's one that is just very confusing. So I think what we'll do is, Don, why don't you read the passage, and then I'll read the question that comes out of this passage. So it comes out of Genesis 6, and so Don will read that, and then I'll ask the question that the person asked, and then we'll kind of dive in. So why don't we do it that way?
Okay, so I'll read from the NIV version. I'm going to read Genesis 6, 1 to 8. And it says, when men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal, and his days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah, so very interesting passage. And so the question, I mean, already, if you're listening, questions are coming like, what? Nephilim, sons of God, daughters of men, like... So the question that was asked, it says, in Genesis 6:4, were the sons of God angels or from the line of Seth? If from Seth, why the giants? And won't other sons and daughters of that line have married? If angels, can they marry, according to Matthew 22:30, or can they only not marry in heaven? If genetic change is there, then if the end times will be as in the days of Noah, then what... will that happen now? And if so, could this take us out of the image of God? So you can see why we didn't attempt to answer that in 5 minutes. To kind of start thinking about that, when you approach passages like this, like there's an assumption here that we have a worldview that allows for the spiritual realm. So because like right away when you read it, you go, okay, sons of God, angels, like are they demons here? Like weird things that are happening, Nephilim. Like so right away when you approach a passage like this, it makes no sense unless you approach it with a biblical worldview that allows for a spiritual realm. So like if you are a follower of Jesus and if you read the Bible, the worldview that we have is that this world, that what you see with your eyes and with your other senses, like what you can touch and taste and smell, like the physical world is not all that there is. Like there's an underlying assumption that there is a very real spiritual realm that we don't see with our eyes, that we don't touch, that we don't smell, or I wonder what the spiritual realm would smell like. But there's this unseen spiritual realm that is operating. And so then that allows us to go, okay, well then, yeah, when the Bible talks about angels and demons, and it talks about, you know, putting on spiritual armor, that makes a whole lot more sense because as Christians, we believe that there is a spiritual realm, right? That God, like we serve a God that is invisible. We can't see God. He is a spirit. You know, Jesus is the closest people God. He was God in the flesh. But right now, like, we follow Jesus, we don't see him physically. So I just wanted to start by saying, when we approach a text like this, we have to keep that in mind. And then that kind of takes some of the, not all of it, but some of the weirdness away when we go, okay, in our worldview, angels and demons, like, it operates in that. So from there, I mean, Don, why don't you, I don't know, walk us through this passage a bit. And, I mean, we're going to try and answer that question, but I know that you've kind of done some research on the different views of what could possibly be happening here. So why don't you kind of walk us through the passage a bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we get to the beginning there, we see, you know, man began to increase. We have Adam and Eve from the beginning, and then as years went by, and somewhere between 1,600 years or so have passed by since Adam and Eve have been there. So the world's beginning to get populated, and somewhere in this time, we have, it's said here that daughters were born to men, just the regular females. And then it says the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. So this is where, you know, people go like, what happened here? Hmm. And so there's a couple different ways people have approached this. And a couple is to try to say that it was some kind of human race, the line of Seth, for example, or some group of powerful human rulers were referred to as the sons of God. Hmm. And out of this relationship, there were some super type men that were born out of this. The problem with those is that it doesn't really line up with the wording, the sons of God. It's always referred to as angels. Hmm. So there is, you know, some difficulties, and it's like people are trying to take, like Andrew said, take the weirdness out of this passage, because otherwise it looks like some type of angel was interbreeding with the daughters of men. Hmm. And that gets into, some strange situations.
Yeah.
I think the comment was made too in Matthew 22, verse 30. Jesus is saying that angels are, we're going to be like angels in heaven, and the idea is that they don't marry. So they point to that as a problem with this being angels, some type of angels. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that on earth or fallen angels couldn't have married the daughters of men. Hmm. So these are kind of the different ways people are trying to approach this and to make sense out of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it being some type of human race, God never forbade or condemned men marrying women. So there's a problem there if that's suddenly, you know, condemned here.
Yeah.
So yeah, and out of this relationship, these people called the Nephilim, who were maybe some type of giant or powerful hunters, resulted from this relationship. So
yeah, and I mean, In my Bible, it says, you know, Nephilim in Hebrew means giant, which is where they say, okay, maybe these guys were, you know, giants. And we read about other giants in the Bible as well. So it's not, like, according to biblical literature, that's not odd. I mean, Goliath was a giant. There's others that are mentioned. So could these have been, you know, giants? Sure. And I like what you said too, like the sons of God, like if you read Job, again, same word is used. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. So again, same kind of thing. That phrasing is used for angels, demons, like, well, sons of God would be angels, fallen angels, maybe. So again, yeah, I think the view of, well, let's just say it was a human race. Let's say it was the line of Seth. Again, I think it's just trying to almost like make apologies for the Bible. It's not as weird as it sounds. Like, okay, maybe it was just humans. Now, again, too, like you go, like you said, Jesus says in Matthew 22, like, we'll be like angels in heaven. They neither marry or are given in marriage. And I think you said it, Don, like, that's heaven. So who says maybe on earth fallen angels? And we've seen it throughout the Bible too, that things in the spiritual realm can not materialize, but then they're seen by people. Like they can, like angels, when they show up to people, they can see them. You think of the angel coming to Mary. It wasn't as if she just heard a voice. She saw an angel standing in front of her. The ones that came to Abraham when he was talking about Sodom, like angels can, I don't know what the word is, like materialize, or they can make themselves seen, take on human form. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say that that's what these fallen angels were doing, taking on, you know, and just the perversion of these fallen angels to breed and to have sex with human women. Like, I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility. And so it talks about the Nephilim are kind of the offspring of this interaction. And so they were kind of this super breed, I guess, or the result of this kind of perversion that was happening.
It's kind of interesting to make a note in verse 4 that the Bible says that they were heroes of old, men of renown. Some people have tried to say that Nephilim are some kind of spiritual, half-human, half-spiritual things, but I know some commentator just made a note that maybe they were superhumans or giants, but they were still men. So that's kind of interesting to take note of that it wasn't something out of bounds. It was still, they were making men, more men. So,
Yeah, and I know, like, Don, you mentioned to me before the 1 Peter, right? Is it 1 or 2 Peter that talks about, and a lot of people connect that these fallen angels that did this are now locked in, you know, because 1 Peter talks about they're locked away in the abyss, and a lot of people kind of make that connection and say, okay, these, you know, Peter is talking about these fallen angels that committed these, or is it in Jude?
It's in Jude and 2 Peter. So I'll just read. In Jude, he's talking about God's judgment coming, and he starts in verse 4. He says, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for a judgment on the great day." And then he goes on to mention Sodom and Gomorrah and some others. And so most, I guess, people would say he's referring to these angels here in Genesis 6 that left their position of authority and chose to go out of bounds. And for some reason, God allowed them to do that. It seems to suggest in verse 2 that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and they married any of them they chose. And it seems like there was maybe some type of marriage ceremony. And I know a couple commentators just mentioned that it seems, and God condemns men later, and he says he's going to destroy men. It seems kind of odd that God would destroy man if this is a, you know, a fallen angel problem. But it seems like man has given permission for this to happen. So they were dabbling in things that were out of bounds, and God held them accountable for that. So it wasn't like the angels were doing stuff out of bounds, like raping women and all this.
It's not like they're victims. They were kind of...
That's right. So somehow man was involved here and maybe trying to build a super race or dabbling in things that were out of bounds. But it says in Jude, and also mentioned this in 2 Peter, basically the same thing, that these angels are held in gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. And he said he didn't spare the ancient world. Men and these fallen angels were held accountable. For some reason, God did allow them to go out of bounds to a certain point. And that's where God says, you know, he saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. that this perversion just escalated to a place where God said, that's it. And it's interesting, in verse 8, he says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It seems like the whole mankind at that time just got polluted in this perversion. And we know that Satan was there in the beginning too. Satan tempted Adam and Eve. We know that there was fallen angels that followed Satan. Mm-hmm. And so this could even be an attempt to pollute the human race, because God promised right in the beginning that he was going to send a deliverer. And if Satan could pollute the whole human race, this promised Messiah would not be able to come. Yeah. But as God did throughout history, he kept his promise. He came in when he had to, and he preserved Noah. Mm-hmm. And he did this countless times to preserve that line where the Messiah would come. It's the story of God's faithfulness too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're going to quickly kind of look through how this is not like an isolated event, that mankind has done this over and over and over. But just to kind of say, like, there are so many theories and so many ideas of, well, what did it look like? How did they do? How did they breed? How do angels and humans breed? What did the giants look like? Were there other like crossbreeding things happening? And I mean, I think, you know, Paul tells Timothy, don't be involved in like silly myths and weird ideology. Like, just stay true to the gospel. So we're not going to go there, because honestly, my opinion is that it's a waste of time to sit around and go, well, how do demons have intercourse with women? Who cares? Yeah. Like, it happened. And so really, we're not going to spend kind of the rest of the time trying to unpack some of the theories behind it. But it's sad and fascinating that, like I said, this is not a isolated event. Like, you look at Adam and Eve, they were tempted, and they said, you know, the temptation was, you will be like God. And it was, well, that sounds pretty sweet. I'll be my own God. So then they fell. This, you know, you see, and we don't know necessarily the motivations behind it, but it seems like because men were held responsible, they were approving of this perversion of, you know, fallen angels and women interbreeding. And who knows, maybe that was a, hey, let's create our own super race and we don't need God. You look at the Tower of Babel, it was, let's make a name for ourselves. Like, over and over and over again throughout the Bible, it's just, you see the same thing, like different scenarios, but it's the same thing over and over. We don't need God. Let's do our own thing. Like, let's, you know, whatever. Let's set up idols. Let's worship idols instead. It's sad. Like, you see the human race repeat the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. So this Genesis 6 passage, although it's slightly weird, I mean, it's just a variation of rebellion over and over and over and over again. So I think part of the question that they asked was, you know, if the end times are going to be like the days of Noah, and, you know, if you look at our culture with the way things are going with genetic stuff and I think what the person was getting at is, are we seeing the same kind of thing maybe that was going on in Genesis 6? Is that kind of where we're headed? So I don't know. Yeah. Don, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, like it said, in the days, it will be at the end times like the days of Noah. And I think kind of the more the focus is that, like Noah, while he was building his ark, there was a period of 100 and some years where Noah built this ark and people had an opportunity to take advantage of the grace of God, but they kept building, they kept marrying, they kept ignoring God's plea. And there was a day when God said, that's it. The doors were shut. The time of grace was closed. And that's part of what that meaning is there too, that in the same way, as we get to the end of the age, people are going to ignore God's call. He's given us Jesus Christ. He's given us the call to repent and turn to him, and we can be saved. But there is a time when God will close the door, and it will be too late. This whole theme of man wanting to do it their own way, it's very relevant to this whole genetic science area, and that's kind of where this question was pointing to. There was some kind of pollution going on in Genesis 6 that God put a stop to, and now with our new science, being able to work with the genes, and I just read this in a magazine, a scientific magazine, not too long ago, where the whole idea is that the science is moving rapidly where we can pinpoint the different diseases, defects, and get rid of them. And, it might involve eliminating some lines of people to get rid of diseases. And one of the questions that was asked of these scientists was, like, when you look into the future, what does this look like? And they said, well, can you imagine a disease-free civilization? And he said, can you imagine if we could eliminate all those diseases and live eternally? And so I just went, whoa, that's the whole theme of the Bible, to try to find a way to, and this has gone on in all the like Egyptian religions and Greek mythology. There's all this attempt to get across the river of, the Styx in the mythology to try to achieve eternal life. And so that was just incredible to read. And these are modern, it's not a whacked out, it's a scientific journal. And so the attempt to try to find eternal life, to make a name for ourselves, I mean, that was the, it just shouted the Tower of Babel all over again. And yet the Bible contradicts that. It says everyone is appointed to die. We will die. And there may be a time at the end where the rapture happens and those that follow Christ will be caught up in the air. But this attempt to cheat death has been with us the whole time. And the Bible just strongly calls you will die unless you turn to Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven and take the ark, the escape route. You won't live forever. You won't find this paradise you're looking for. So,
wow. Yeah, it's kind of scary thinking where we're headed. Like you said, if you know your Bible, it's just, oh man, seriously, again. It's like,
yeah.
Because you look like, so yeah, like we could eliminate disease. When you think of, I mean, when we, both times my wife was pregnant, it was, well, do you want to get the screening? And in case your baby has any defects, we'll just eliminate it. And it was just like, that's where we're at. Like, well, obviously you don't want to have a kid with a handicap. So we don't want to bring that kid into the world. So let's just, and then you think of, doctor assisted suicide, let's eliminate those people. And then this idea of manipulating genes. So, and you're right. It's so, let's achieve eternal. We don't need God if we can do that. Yeah. Like, we got it. We can be our own gods and achieve eternal life. Because really, I mean, death is the biggest enemy humanity has. I mean, besides Satan, death is the final, right? And that's, Jesus came to defeat Satan and death so that those who trust in him, though we die, we shall live. So really, death is not the final say in a follower of Jesus's life. But for the rest of humanity, like, that's the scary part. How do we beat death? Like, that's the common denominator for the human race. As soon as you are born, you're starting to die, basically. You're headed towards that. And so rather than this idea of, God's made a way through the gospel of Jesus to defeat death, like, so that when you die, you actually don't die. You live forever in eternity with Jesus. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of, as a society, said, and you see it repeated over and over again, well, we kind of want to do it without God, though. That's a good question. Are we getting to this place of, with tampering with this kind of stuff, are we just repeating the same thing? And I would say, yeah, I think we're trying to accomplish eternal life and accomplish this sense of, we are our own gods. We don't like being underneath the authority of a god, and so let's just be our own god. So it's scary when you think about that, and where we're where we're heading. So I don't know, like, Don, one of the kind of sub questions in that was like, if we start doing this, will we be not made in the image of God? And I don't know, what do you think about that? Like, if we start tampering with genetics, and even now, like, you know, you can basically make a pregnancy happen in a test tube, like, so are we not made in the, if that is where our culture is going?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we can necessarily answer that, but it definitely is a question worth looking at, because I know, you know, we're at the verge of making body parts. We're, you know, spare parts. If you need spare parts, it's going to be available. And, you know, if you add these parts to your body, will it affect your soul? Will it affect, you know, the image of God? I know when, you know, in Genesis 6 there, when they were tampering there, it seems to suggest they were still people after that and held accountable. But yeah, I mean, where it's going to end, God came in when it got just to the point of, you know, it was out of control. God stepped in, and I know God is in control today too. And he will step in when he has a time set that, he will, not allow it to go to that point. But yeah, you know, all these zombie movies and apocalypse, like, you start thinking, like, that could actually happen with all these people messing around with God's creation, and they're tampering with something that, you know, it's just makes you really uneasy with what they're trying to do.
So you've heard it here first. Don believes in the zombie apocalypse. Oh, man.
I'd like to read a couple verses from 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and on. It says, Peter is warning the believers, and this is 2,000 years ago, but it's very relevant. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died and everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And he goes on to say that he urges the people to put your trust in God, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Don't listen to the scoffers that say, hey, we got it figured out. You don't need to go the God way. We got it figured out. And it's a, I would say, a ploy by Satan to deceive, just like he did Adam and Eve, to deceive you to think that you can do your own thing. It's, you know, you got it covered.
But, yeah, and I think, too, like, to be careful, because, like, we don't want to, don't hear us saying, like, science is bad and medicine is bad, and because that's not what we're saying, like, at all. And there are some Christians who, we don't need to go to the doctor. Yeah. We just pray and we're healed. I think God has allowed brilliant doctors and scientists to come up with awesome medicines and stuff, like, to combat sickness. So that's not what we're saying, that, like, all science and, like, aspirin is evil and, you know, Tylenol is the Nephilim. Like, that's not what we're saying. Like, that's not, if you have a headache, like, take an aspirin, like, and go to the doctor. Like, so we want to be careful, but I think you have to use discernment, because, and you can see it, it's just, it's crossing the line into things that if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you go, something's odd. Like I remember, like, this is the example I go to, but when we were pregnant with my first daughter, Lucy, We went for our first ultrasound thing. You hear the heartbeat, and I mean, I couldn't see. They're like, there it is. I didn't understand what I was looking at. But then the guy said, now, do you want to schedule your whatever week genetic screening? Because then if there's any problems, we can like eliminate. Mm. And so I just, I almost got mad at him. I had to bite my tongue. But that's where we're going, crossing the line into let's play God, right? There's nothing wrong with, hey, you've got cancer. Let's give you some medication and chemo and try and be like, that's fine. But when it goes into, well, we can detect that this child might have this type of disease, so let's just eliminate it. Like to use discernment as followers of Jesus to go, man, that's crossing the line. Yeah. And with, so like, that's, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't listen and go, wow, I'm not allowed to go to the doctor anymore. And to keep in mind too, like as we're talking about all of this, like God, this is not a surprise to God. Like we've talked about it lots, that God is completely sovereign over everything. And so it's not as if he's going like, what? They're like, wow, this came out of nowhere. He knew that this is where our society is going. Like Genesis 6, he knew that was going to happen before it happened. Tower of Babel, he knew that that was going to happen before it happened. He is sovereign over it. And so we can't also kind of go, well, our culture is so bad and why, you know, God is just weak and he's not doing anything. No, he has his purposes for allowing things to happen and he's totally in control. So we just want to make sure that we, you know, we're not assuming that God is caught off guard or that he is surprised or that he can't, you know, he's not in control. I don't know. Any closing thoughts, Don?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just our encouragement is to put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah. You can't go wrong there. You know, stay close to Jesus, ask for discernment from him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be my encouragement. Don't go off on all the rabbit trails. Stick to the gospel, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he is going to carry us through this life and bring us to eternal life. Yeah. So that we can be assured of. And so yeah, as the world goes crazy around us, the Bible calls Jesus an anchor that holds us in place. So that would be my encouragement.
Yeah, and I think too, like the temptation would be to just withdraw and bunker down and lock the doors because our society is so evil. I think we're still called to engage, not to retreat, not to withdraw.
I think it gives us a great opportunity because people are looking for eternal life. They are looking for answers to the big questions, and we actually have the answers, and we can approach it and say, hey, can I give you what I believe or what the Bible says about those questions? And you know what they do with it is up to them, but I've been there, I've asked these questions, you know, what do you think about eternal life? And they'll give you answers and you can share. So I mean, I think it's actually an exciting time because people are looking for answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully that's kind of answered the Genesis 6 question. And if you were hoping to get some conspiracy theories, sorry that we didn't deliver. But we just wanted this to be practical. And so hopefully this has encouraged you. And always, hopefully this kind of draws you into the Bible more for yourself to dig in and to learn more about who God is. So God bless you. We will see you next week.